Hi, welcome to Viscol once again. We are on chapter 5 of Introduction to Insurance and Risk Management. First chapter, we learned evolution. The second, basic concepts and principles. In the third, insurance business environment. In the fourth, we saw risk management. And now here we are ready to understand insurance documentation, because this is the basis on which the insurance policy is issued. The basic objective of this chapter is to understand the different types of documents that are essential to evidence the existence of an insurance contract. Because in the second chapter we saw insurance is a contract, and any contract has to be formalized in the form of document. And this is where we will understand what are the different types of document that establishes the insurance contract, as well as we learn the utility of each document, both from the insurer's point of view as well as from the insured point of view. So friends, insurance documentation is very important, as it needs to satisfy the legality of the contract, because any contract is established on the basis of legality. It has to clearly document what is the offer made by the prospect, and based on that, what is the promise made as well as the consideration. Documents are a sort of evidence which make both parties agree to what they are supposed to do. Documentation is imperative, as all types of life and non-life insurance contracts will require specific representations, specific promises to be fulfilled. And once this document is in print, then both the parties have clarity in what has to be done from their side. So we will divide the documentation part into two types. One is at the proposal stage, and second is after the policy is issued. Proposal stage is the time the offer is made by the applicant to the insurer, because in normal sense we say application, but in insurance language we say proposal, which is simply like an application or an offer made to the insurance company. Once the acceptance of the offer is done, that means when the insurance company decides to accept the offer after underwriting process and decides to issue an policy, this insurance policy gets established as a contract, and that's why we say the acceptance of an offer culminates into an insurance policy. It is essential to understand the purpose of each stage of documentation in order to comply with the essentials of a legal insurance contract. So let us see one important document at this proposal stage, because the prospect will not come to know on his own about the different features of the insurance policy. So from which document will be able to see the different features of the insurance policy, and that document is called as the prospectus. The prospectus helps the prospective policy holder to get familiar with the company's products. The prospectus issued by the insurer should contain information such as terms and conditions, scope of benefits, entitlements, exceptions, whether the plan is participative or non-participative, as well as different terms which are supposed to be transparent from both the insurer as well as the insured points of view. Next important document is the proposal form. As I already said, proposal form in layman's language can be considered as an application form. In legal terms, it can be considered as an offer. The application document used for providing all details of the prospective policy holder is commonly known as the proposal form. The proposal form carries an offer made by the applicant and require acceptance from the insurer to fulfill the first stage of offer and acceptance of a valid legal contract. As we have seen, there are various sources of information which the insurance company makes use of to decide whether or not to accept the risk, to decide whether or not to issue the insurance policy. And this is where this proposal form becomes really handy for the insurance company to complete the first stage of offer and acceptance of a valid legal contract. And here, based on the principle of utmost good faith, the applicant has to disclose all the material information in the proposal form, which will enable the insurer to assess and evaluate the risk and stipulate a premium for the insurance cover desired. So based on the actual information that is provided, the insurance company will be able to grade the risk into high, medium, or low, and based on that, he will also be able to tell the prospect the premium that needs to be paid by him. Now, yet another important document for underwriting process is the agent's report. We have also seen a part of it in the previous chapter. Agent acts as an important interface between the prospect and the insurer. He needs to do a balancing act between his professional work as well as to garner his business or nourish his business. The agent has an important responsibility to gather all material facts about the prospect which can be relevant to risk assessment. All this material fact has to be disclosed by the agent in his report, and this report should specific mention on the prospect's health, occupation, income and family details and all other relevant information that will help the insurance company for underwriting. Like agent's report, medical exemption report is specially important in case of medical underwriting. Most of the policies can be issued under non-medical underwriting. But whenever it comes to specific instances where the insurance company requires information based on medical examination from a medical examiner, in that case, this medical examination report becomes very useful. In case of medical underwriting, the insurer will require a report from the medical examiner. The medical examiner is instructed, because these medical examiners are in panel doctors. You can't go to any doctor and do your medical examination for buying an insurance. These panel doctors are instructed to what they should examine based on the risk that needs to be assessed, to what information they should provide, in what format they should be provided. So based on that, the medical examiner is very clear as to what to expect and what information is supposed to provide to the insurance company whenever the proposal cannot be considered under non-medical underwriting. And hence this medical exemption report is also a very important document in case of medical underwriting. If the age of the prospect is higher than the age specified by the insurance, then this particular aspect can be verified by the medical examiner, and the insurance company will be absolutely clear, because if there is a reduction of age, the premium would be less, but the mortality rate can be higher. So here the insurance company has to be absolutely sure as to what is the age, and this can be easily verified by a medical examiner reports. The insurance official generally meets the prospect at his residence to satisfy himself about the identity of the proposer. He can also do some investigation based on certain habits and morals of the prospect. Such official makes an independent inquiry about the life of the assured's health, habits, occupation, income, social background and financial position, and any other factor which is related for assessing the risk of the prospect. Once we have seen that the age is an important factor in deciding the risk, on what basis will the insurance company accept the age? So there are different documents which establish the age of any individual. The risk of mortality in life insurance increases with age, and hence premium is charged as per the age group. Insurance company has specific set of documents which they accept with a standard or not standard. We have a list based on which the prospect can submit, and if at all the prospect is not able to submit this standard documents, then the insurance company may accept the next set of documents which are not standard. So let us see what are those documents. When the prospect is not able to produce standard age documents, then the insurer may allow submission of non-standard. So this becomes very essential for us to understand what comes into the standard sort of age proof documents and what are non-standard. So the slide in front of you states the standard age proof documents, such as a school or college certificate, birth certificate from municipal records, your passport, your PAN card, your service register, your certificate of baptism, certified extract from a Bible or a family Bible if it contains the date of birth, ID card in case of defense personnel, marriage certificate issued by Roman Catholic. So this is just a list. You can have more of this listed by the insurer. You can get a copy of it when you request it to your insurer. Non-standard age group, again, we have certain items which can be, certain documents which can be considered as non-standard, acceptable only when the prospect is not able to produce a standard age proof document. non-standard approved document can include a horoscope, your ration card, an affidavit by way of self-declaration, certificate from village panchayat. So having understood this sort of documents which are connected with your insurance policy, now let us go into what are the basis on which such documents are required. There are some established laws, regulation which prescribe certain documents essential for issuing an insurance policy. One such important legislation is on anti-money laundering. Anti-money laundering applies to banks as well as to insurance companies. A proposer of the insurance policy can be considered as a client under anti-money laundering, and hence whatever information that is required under anti-money law has to be provided by the proposer of the insurance policy also. That's not all. Every insurance company also need to have an anti-money laundering program. Each insurance is required to have an anti-money laundering policy, and accordingly file a copy with IRDA so that IRDA also is aware that such insurance company has an AML policy. The AML policy should include your internal policies, procedures and control, appointment of principal compliance officer. This is one of the important requirements as per PMLA. Also, recruitment and training of agents on the AML measures, internal audit fraud. AML policy needs to be approved by the board of directors so that the top level management is also committed in implementing such AML programs. Next important guideline to actually activate or make this AML policy actually working is the KYC, that is know your customer. Every regulator like IRDA has guidelines on know your customer. The know your customer norms are applicable to insurance companies also, like financial institutions. However, these guidelines are supported by the apex regulator in case of insurance, it is the IRDA. Insurance are required to determine the true identity of customers based on the documents that are prescribed by the regulator. You can't produce any document and establish your proof of identity, proof of address. Only those prescribed documents need to be provided for establishing your identity and address. Customers include proposer, policyholder, beneficiaries, as well as the signee. IRDA has provided a list of documents that can be accepted for verification of identity and residential address of the customers at the time of accepting risk. These are the documents which can be considered for submission along with the proposal, such as the recent photograph of the customer, your age proof, proof of identity, specifically the Aadhaar card, the driving license, the passport, voter ID card, PAN card, etc. This has to be specifically prescribed by IRDA. Proof of address includes your Aadhaar card, driving license, passport, telephone bill, electricity bill. This has to be the latest one, bank passbook, etc. The purpose of insurance as well as income proof documents may also be required in certain insurance proposals. One thing that has come up with the advancement of technology is the electronic KYC services. So you don't have to actually produce physical documents. Insurers can also avail the eKYC services of the Unique Identification Authority of India, UIDAI, for KYC verification with customers' consent, so that the records that are stored by the UIDAI can be retrieved and the identity of proof of identity, proof of address can be easily verified based on the customer's consent. Now we go into an important concept which is established in the policy document, which is the free looking period. What do you mean by free looking period? The free looking period, especially for life insurance policy, is 15 days. And what these 15 days are meant for, it enables the policyholder to go through the policy document. Because you have to understand, when the offer is made by proposal, based on the offer, the insurance company sends the policy document. Now, if there is any variation in the policy document, then whatever the prospectus says, then whatever the agent has said, then whatever has been displayed on the insurance agency website, and if the policyholder feels he has been cheated, the terms and conditions that are mentioned are different than that what these were explained at the proposal stage, then he has these 15 days to decide whether to keep the policy or not. And this 15 days starts from the receipt of policy document. If the policyholder is not satisfied within this 15 days with the terms and conditions put in the policy document, then he can request the insurer in writing to cancel the policy within this free look period, the insurer cannot see anything. You have to return the money after deducting certain mandatory fees and stamp duty that has been collected. The insurer has to accept the insurer's request and refund the premium after deducting the stamp duty expenses borne by the company on medical examination. The premium refund will also be proportionately adjusted for the risk premium because of the running of the policy for that period. Now, once we understand the proposal stage documentation, now let us go to the second stage, which is the policy stage documentation. Once the policy is issued, what are the important documents which will have an impact on the insurance legal contract? The first such document is the policy. Once the insurer accepts the proposal, the prospective policyholder, various new documents take birth, and each document has its unique purpose. Let us see which is the first important document that arises after the acceptance of the proposal. And the first document that arises is the first premium receipt. You don't have to wait till the policy is actually delivered, because the first premium receipt, the payment receipt of your first premium, becomes a proof of commencement of insurance contract. The first premium receipt contains the name and address of the life insured, your insurance policy number, even though the policy will follow subsequently, premium amount paid and date of payment of the premium, method and frequency of premium payment, date of commencement of risk, insurance sum assured. So all the major information related to your policy will be there, and hence the first premium receipt is a proof of commencement of an insurance contract, and automatically the insurance company can become liable for the policy that is issued. A policy document is the major legal document. Policy document is a proof of establishment of the contract between the insured and the insurance company, and all the details. When I say policy document, is a formal document because it's a stamp document, signed document by the insurance company, and hence it has more relevance. It has to be signed by the insurance company as well as stamped according to the Indian Stamp Act. A policy document can have various provisions and its recitals change from one insurance to another. However, IRDA has given a standard format as to what are the recitals that should be included, and based on insurance company can base its policy documents. But the main provisions that are suggested by IRDA cannot be compromised. Your policy document contains terms and conditions to be fulfilled by the insurer as well as the insured. So both are supposed to follow the policy document. Insurer should specify the standard exclusion, because this is where the clarity will come as to what risks are covered and what are not covered. And based on that, the insured is very clear as to what sort of claim that can be put. The grace period can also be mentioned on the payment of premium, nomination, lapse, reinstatement, surrender value, paid up value, loans, assignment. All these features will appear in the policy document. Now, if we have to consider an example of health insurance policy, let us see what are the main provisions that should be included. The first should be the name of the policyholder, names of each beneficiary, URL of the product, name code, name number, contact details, date of birth of the insured, corresponding age in completed years, address, period of insurance, and the date of which the policyholder has been continuing the health, obtaining the health insurance cover, the sum insured, the sub limits, the copay limits, the pre-existing disease, the specific waiting periods, deductibles, the cumulative bonus, veracity of payment, policy period, policy terms, action to be taken on occurrence of a claim, details of TPA. So these all are the main provisions of a health insurance policy. In addition to these provisions, there can be riders in life insurance policy. What are riders? Riders are additional acceptance of risk. Life insurance riders enables the insured to get additional coverage over and above his or her basic life insurance policy. The insured, instead of buying different policies, can get a customized life insurance. He can include an accident cover along with the life insurance cover. So these hybrid forms of risk can be covered in a life insurance policy with additions of certain riders. The most common riders can be accidental death, permanent disability, critical illness, guaranteed insurability, term rider, waiver of premium, especially in case of children plans, spouse insurance. So this type of additional riders can be included in a life insurance policy. Now, once a policy is issued, if there are some mistakes done, there can be request of alterations made. Insurer may allow alteration in certain terms and policies on request made by the policyholder. However, such alteration requests are permitted only after 1 year of commencement of the policy. What type of alterations are allowed? Alterations in name, class, term. A female might change her name after marriage, so such request has to be accommodated. Reduction in the sum assured. Alteration in the mode of payment. Alteration from without profit to with profit plans. Correction in policies. Settlement options. Grant of accident benefit. Grant of premium waiver benefit. Endowment assurance policies. Alteration in currency. So all sorts of alterations like this are possible in an insurance policy. There can be a possibility that in case of a life insurance, longer period plans, a policyholder may lose his policy. And in that case, when a claim has to be settled, that policyholder has to submit a policy, in which case the insurer has to apply for a duplicate policy. A duplicate policy confers on its owner the same rights and privileges, but for that a process needs to be followed. Insurer and insured will have to follow a required procedure for issuance of a duplicate policy. And in such instances, there need to be an advertisement made in newspapers at a cost of the insured for establishing the fact that the policy is indeed lost and no one possesses that policy. But this is just an example, but both the insurer and insured will have to follow the procedures that are required for issuance of a duplicate policy. Thank you.